Greetings once more, friends and neighbors. It's Pastor Bob. And it's Tuesday, June 28th, and we are walking through the stories of Jesus. Today it's story number 4 of 24, the boyhood of Jesus. The boyhood of Jesus. And we'll be able to hear it all today. So let us begin. The boy, Jesus, lived. King Herod died. Old, sick in body and spirit, cruel to the last. Then the angel of the Lord appeared again in a dream to Joseph, still in Egypt with Mary and her son. Arise, the angel said. Take the young child and his mother back into the land of Israel, for he who sought the young child's life is dead. So Joseph arose and led his family back to their homeland. Egypt had been good to them, as it had been good to his forefathers Abraham and Joseph. But it was not meant that the king and deliverer of Israel should grow up in a foreign land. It was toward Bethlehem, city of David, that the family now turned their steps. Yet there were still obstacles in Joseph's path. When he came with Mary and Joseph into the land of Israel, he heard that Herod's son, Archelaus, reigned in Judea in his father's place. And by all accounts, the son was no less cruel than the father. Therefore, Joseph was afraid to settle in Judea, as he had intended. And while he wondered what to do, he was told by God in a dream that he must turn aside from Judea and go north into the lake lands of Galilee. There another Herod ruled, one Herod Antipas, who was by no means a good and upright man, but neither was he nearly so cruel as others of his family. And so Joseph went back to the city of Nazareth in Galilee with Mary his wife and the little boy Jesus, and stayed there while the child was growing up. Thus another prophecy of old was fulfilled. He that is the Messiah shall be called a Nazarene. Joseph once again became a carpenter. Mary made a new home for the little family in Nazareth. The child Jesus grew, becoming strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. As time passed and the boy seemed to be no different from others of his age, Mary and Joseph thought less and less of the strange circumstances of his birth. They did not and could not ever forget, but he gave them no reason to treat him as anything other than a normal, healthy lad with all the usual interests of a growing boy. And yet he was wiser than they knew, and nothing that he saw escaped him. As Jesus grew, he came to know his town and everything about it, good and bad. He knew its people, old and young, its rich men and its poor, the kind people and the harsh, the tradesmen and the beggars. In his father's shop, he learned much about the use of tools and the differences between various kinds of wood. And because a carpenter of those days was as much a builder as a maker of furniture, he also came to know something of the construction of houses. The boy Jesus could only watch when it came to the matter of building, but he was quick to learn the importance of a solid foundation, sturdy materials, and honest workmanship. And because Nazareth was not a large town, he also came to know the countryside around him as if it were the garden of his father's house. He knew the shores of Galilee and their fishermen who went out to cast their nets upon the waters. He knew the shepherds of the pastures and came to share their feeling of concern and love for every lamb in every flock. He knew the farmers in the fields, and he watched them plow and reap. He knew the names of all the living things that grew in the hills and valleys, the crops, the trees, the fruits, the mustard seeds, and the weeds. He knew the birds and beasts and flowers, the thorns and thistles, and the grasses of the fields. He also learned the history of his people and the commandments brought down by Moses from the top of Mount Sinai. Although the temple was in Jerusalem and all devout Jews journeyed there for their special prayers and feasts, there was a synagogue in Nazareth where the people gathered for worship and to hear readings from the scrolls of wisdom left by the Hebrew prophets and poets of the past. Here in the synagogue, Jesus praised the Lord on Sabbath days, and here he studied the Psalms and Scriptures during the week until he could recite long passages by heart. Here too he learned to read and write to understand the words of wisdom that he had learned by listening to his teachers. Time and time again, he heard the hopeful prophecies about the Messiah who would come to free his people, Israel, from the darkness of their own sins and the yoke of their oppressors. The yearning for yet more knowledge and understanding began to stir within him. In accordance with the custom among the Jewish people, Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, his parents took him for the first time with them to Jerusalem. For now he was on the verge of young manhood. There was much for Jesus to see on the journey to the city of the temple, much to interest him in the great city itself, as crowds of pilgrims converged on it from all sides. But it was the temple itself that stirred him more than the royal palace, the markets with their many wares, the noblemen and all their finery, or the impressive soldiers of the king. Instead of lingering in the streets with other boys his age, he went each day to the temple and listened to the priests. And each evening he joined his parents as they praised the Lord and worshiped the Most High. He was fascinated by the altar and the sweet smell of burning incense, by the calm-faced priests in their flowing robes, and by the compelling words of the wise teachers within the temple court. The feast of the Lamb and the unleavened bread was celebrated by all, and much too soon the days of special prayers and fasts and feasts were at an end. The pilgrims who were going back to Nazareth gathered in a great company so that they might travel the long road together. And they set off from the city of Jerusalem in one vast but scattered throng. But the child, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem, unable to tear himself away, and not even aware that his parents were already far distant, while he sat listening and questioning in the temple. Strange new thoughts were working in his mind. He had been told the story of his birth, and more than once he thought of the words of one of the earliest of the ancient prophets. There shall come forth a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Was his the star? He could only wonder, but in his heart there was a feeling that the God of Israel was his father, and that he, the son, had much to learn. Joseph and Mary did not know that Jesus was not with them, for the group they traveled with was large, and Jesus might have been anywhere within it with his young friends or his relatives. At the end of a day's journey, they looked for him so that he might join them as they made camp for the night. And then at last, they realized that he was nowhere to be seen. With growing anxiety, they sought him among their kinsfolk, acquaintances, but they did not find him, nor anyone who could tell them where he was. It came to them, then, that perhaps he had not left the city. They hurried back at once and searched throughout the city, looking in all the places where they thought a young boy might have wandered. But still, they did not find him. And their desperate questions met with no answer that could help them. No one had seen the boy. And then, after 3 days spent in traveling and in searching, they went into the temple. And there they found their child sitting in the midst of the doctors and the learned scribes. He was listening to them with rapt attention and asking questions that showed so deep a knowledge and understanding that all who heard him were astounded. Both his questions and his answers showed a wisdom well beyond his years. And the learned men were talking to him, almost as if he were one of them. Joseph and Mary were themselves amazed, as much by his presence there as by his remarkable understanding. At the moment, they were in no mood to congratulate their son upon his wisdom. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Did you not know that we were all to leave together? Your father and I have been seeking for you in sorrow, afraid that we might never find you." He looked at them with surprise. "But I am in my father's house. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" His parents did not understand. His father's business? What could he mean? When Jesus saw that he had saddened them, he rose at once and left the temple with them. Yet Mary grew thoughtful as they resumed their journey. Though the years had dimmed her memory of the visit of the angel, she had not forgotten that her son was no ordinary boy. Meanwhile, Jesus went back to Nazareth with Joseph and Mary. From that time on, throughout his youth and early manhood, he was obedient to them in every way and never again gave them cause for hurt or sorrow. But Mary thought often about the words he had used that day in the temple at Jerusalem. "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And Jesus increased in wisdom as he grew in stature. As the years went by, he grew in favor with both God and man. He lived a quiet life in Nazareth and gave no further sign that he was anything other than the son of a hard-working carpenter, except that he was perhaps more gentle and forgiving than most men, and certainly more wise. To all who knew him then, he was a kindly, ordinary Nazarene. But his time was coming. Amen.